Many people in Maine are food insecure. Statistics show nearly 13% of Maine households don't have access to enough nutritious food to support a healthy life. That's one in seven Mainers. With food prices on the rise, alongside federal cuts to food aid programs, many of Maine's families face difficulty putting food on the table. Meanwhile, the growing season is upon us, and home gardeners can help strengthen food access in their communities by partnering with local food relief organizations, from food pantries and cupboards to community meal programs and share sheds. Today on Common Ground Radio, we'll discuss gardening for food security with two guests who are working to empower and connect Mainers to grow a row for those in need. I'm Holly Cederholm, your host for a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association on Community Radio WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill. Today, I'm joined by Maddie John Bamman, a writer and editor who grew up as part of the Back to the Land movement in Downeast Maine. He is the communications coordinator for Waldo County Bounty, a food access nonprofit based in Waldo County, Maine, that he co-founded in 2020. Maddie, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm also joined by Kate Garland, a horticulture professional with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, serving home, community, and school gardeners throughout Penobscot, Piscataquis, Somerset, and Franklin counties. She also oversees Maine Home Garden News, a free statewide gardening newsletter. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
To start, I want to learn a little bit more about what food security means. Like, what does that look like in a family setting?
So there are so many definitions to food security, and I'm sure there's an official USDA one that I don't have memorized, but to me, food security is when you have enough resources to meet your dietary needs and not tap into other resources such as what you need to pay your bills or buy medication and other aspects of your life.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I feel like every individual and every family has a different food security story. For instance, I've met folks who have a medical condition that says they can't eat foods high in inflammation. And so though they might be able to access enough food, they can't find the right kind of food. And so it's having access to enough healthy food. And there's lots of ways to be able to do that, to know where your local food pantry is part of food security. To know if there's a local church that's offering a meal once a month. And then also, of course, if you can grow some of your own food.
Thank you for setting sort of that common ground for folks who are listening. And the reason I've invited both of you here today is you are working in food security realms related to gardening. Maddie mentioned growing your own food. And I'd like to dig into the food security work that each of you is involved in. And Maddie, let's start with you. You work with Waldo County Bounty. Can you give us a big picture overview of the work that Waldo County Bounty is doing to improve food security here in Maine?
Yeah, sure. So we started in response to the pandemic in 2020, and we've since developed a ton of food programming. I'll try to keep it brief. But our mission is to work to ensure that everyone has access to fresh, nutritious food by collaborating with farmers, organizations, and community members towards an equitable food system. So providing access to locally grown food is the meat, oh, bad pun there, of our work. And one of our key programs is Farm to Pantry program, where we collaborate with Daybreak Growers Alliance, a local food distributor, and we buy food from local farms and distribute it to food pantries across the county year round. And then we also do a gleaning program to collect extra crops at farms when they're available and distribute those to those who need it. And we have a gardening program. So we want to really encourage people to grow their own food. We try to provide free seeds and seedlings in the spring. And we also set up these give and take stands, which I'm excited to talk about. They're just these beautiful locally built stands that people can put their homegrown food on throughout the season and anyone can take them. And they're located in local community centers. And we have 24 at this point. So one in almost every town in Waldo County. It's really been embraced by the community, which makes it really meaningful.
That's awesome that you have 24 of them. Did you start out with that many or has that sort of grown over time?
Well, we started out with just 9. And it was during the pandemic, so we wanted to create a place where people didn't have to come into contact with each other to get food. And so they're located outside, maybe at the town office or at a local church. From those nine, people love the idea and were like, I want one in my town. And we're like, we want to get you one in your town. And so it really did expand to 24. I think we have two more coming this year, so we'll have 26. And that's been a beautiful collaboration with so many partners. I just want to highlight the many partners that we work with. Maine Cooperative Extension is just such a great partner that we work with all the time. We really rely on their gardening knowledge to help people when they want to grow some food. And just the connections that they have in the local communities are really a big benefit to it.
I want to hear from Kate a little bit about the food security work with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension and the programs that you're plugged into.
I just want to give a shout out to Waldo County Bounty that you guys are awesome. I have big admirers of your work, and it is one of the many different organizations that UMaine Cooperative Extension partners with and does their best to support throughout the state. So the University of Maine Cooperative Extension is the outreach branch of the university, and so we are very lucky to be strategically placed literally throughout the state. Part of our work is we support Master Gardener volunteers and Maine Harvest for Hunger volunteers in various food security efforts throughout the state. And so what that looks like is not terribly easy to explain, but I think that's also what makes it so beautiful because each community in the state of Maine and wherever you are is going to be unique. And so, what we do as professionals is we work with our volunteers to assess the needs in the community, assess the assets in the community, and that can be food security, community food partners, or farmers, or other volunteer organizations that aren't affiliated with the cooperative extension. And we play matchmaker, and we listen to how we can fill in the gaps, whether it's sharing resources or connecting volunteers with specific projects. I don't intentionally mean to sound vague, but it is a beautiful knitting project almost, where we try to connect things together and weave things together within the communities. But our Maine Harvest for Hunger program started back in 2000 by my predecessors, and it was inspired by the Plant a Row for the Hungry initiative, which was spearheaded by the Garden Writers Association of America. And their idea was just to weave into their conversations for their readers to think about food security in your own backyard and do it on a little bite-size level where you can grow an extra row in your garden and give that to your community in some form or another. And of course, gardeners took that and ran with it and made it into so many different things. So it did transform into whole school gardens, whole community gardens, intentionally grown to donate to area food security organizations, and evolved into these sharing tables that Maddie's talking about and gleaning programs. And so it changed its name, of course, from Plant a Row to Maine Harvest for Hunger to really reflect that greater mission. I could tell so many stories about those little pieces and anecdotes about what's happening in the community, but it's fantastic.
Thank you for that overview. It makes a lot of sense that the programs are responsive to community needs, as they should be. Each space and area is going to be having its own unique challenges. Let's think about this from a garden perspective and gardeners wanting to plug into these programs. And hypothetically, or not, maybe it's not hypothetical, I'm a gardener who wants to support communities in need in my area. Like, what are the things that I should think about? And let's start with Waldo County Bounty. Maddie, if I were going to plug in to grow food, if I wanted to participate at a sharing table or another program, like what does that look like and what should I be thinking about?
It's a really good question, because I know there's so many people in the community who want to contribute to the food system, and that's part of what makes Maine a really special place to have all of that gardening knowledge. And we often have gardeners reach out and they're like, I want to grow food for my local food pantry. And sometimes that can be kind of a complex thing because a food pantry might operate one day a month. And you want to donate it at the beginning of the month. Where are they going to store the food? And they want larger donations just because they're strapped for time. They're volunteer run often in those cases. So the Give and Take program is a really good way to take individual empowerment of growing your own food and make an impact in your community. And I wish it was statewide. We mostly focus on Waldo County. It's been great to collaborate with other organizations across the state who have started to adopt the model more. And of course, there's just those farm stands that offer free produce in your neighborhood that already exist. And so I highly recommend connecting with your local farm stand that's doing that. The Give and Take program, you can sign up to grow a row. And there's a grow a row pledge that we love to have people take. And it basically says, I pledge to grow this many things for the stand if I can. And in response, we want to give gardeners encouragement to be able to do that easily because I'm a homesteader. I grow all my own crops except for like lemons and limes for my whole year-round food production. It's a lot of work. And so we want to make it easier for people to grow their own food. And so we donate free seedlings in the spring. And we also give free seeds to anyone that signs up for the Grow a Row program. And we recommend which crops to grow to. The cool thing about those give and take stands is we see very little waste. People really love the opportunity to get some great fresh produce. And it's not going to last for long. So you might as well take it if you see it. And since we see very little waste, you can grow anything you want, and people are going to want it. And the one thing we really are focusing on this year is to get early season crops because sometimes the stands are stocked through late July through October, like massive. But those early season crops can be kind of hard to get. So if you can grow some radishes or peas or rhubarb, that's a big help for sure.
And for someone who hasn't seen one of the give and take stands, can you describe like what it looks like and how it operates both from the grower standpoint and someone who wants to access food from the stand?
Yeah, it's an amazingly simple idea, but it involves a lot of different parts and a ton of different community members. Each stand is run by about four volunteers because you check in on it regularly throughout the year to make sure that everything's neat and tidy, et cetera. And then you have to find out where to put the stand. And so we usually connect with local town offices or churches, someplace really public. And then we have these road signs that say give and take stand. They're A-frame signs. They're actually very sturdy and they're hand painted based on a design at a local art school that came up with the design for us. And so you see that when you're driving down the road and you pull over and there's this stand with like three or four shelves on it. Sometimes there's a cooler if the volunteers are going to keep stocking it with ice packs throughout the season. And we ask for any donation of homegrown food. We don't want anything else. It's a food safety issue, and that's been one of the amazing ways that UMaine Cooperative Extension has contributed to the program is all that knowledge on food safety. So we're looking for fresh, locally grown food, and you can donate anything throughout the season. And if you need food, you can just go up and take the food. You do not need to donate something to take something. It is really important. This is a community resource. It is just out there for anyone who needs it.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio. I'm Holly Cederholm, and on today's show, we're discussing how home gardeners can contribute to food security and help feed their neighbors in Maine. My guests are Maddie Bamman of Waldo County Bounty and Kate Garland with University of Maine Cooperative Extension. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. It is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. Kate, I'd like to hear from you. Again, I'm a gardener wanting to connect in my community. What are some of the considerations you would recommend to someone who is coming to UMaine Extension with those goals?
Well, I love the fact that this conversation is happening right now because I think one of the really big keys to success, if you can, is have the conversation ahead of the growing season with a site where you plan to donate and doing that research ahead of time. Of course, there's going to be surprise, bountiful excess, hopefully, sometimes in your garden, like you might have an extra bag of beans that you didn't plan on growing for donation. But if we can plan on intentionally growing what's most needed, and what's most needed is going to differ from community to community. So reaching out to your local food pantry or share table coordinator to see either what times of day and days of the week that they're doing their distribution and what products they might be most interested in would be the number one thing if you can. And then also making sure that works with your goals and your availability. I think developing one relationship with one food distribution outlet, if this is your first year, is going to be really helpful. to just have that success this year and then build on that. Don't make too many promises. And then also to keep in mind that you don't have to have fantastic soil or a garden yourself to really make a big impact. There are so many food security, community gardening initiatives that desperately need volunteers. And it's one of the best ways, I can't say it more enthusiastically, to learn how to garden is to garden alongside others in a community garden setting like that with that shared mission. And it's a great way to meet friends. And especially if you're new to a community, it is a fantastic way to meet some wonderful people and contribute to that. But I work with a lot of gardens, projects that are growing for food security and they really, really need support. So if you need to find that match, that's what Extension's here for, is to help build those connections.
I'd like to circle back to volunteering in a few minutes, but right now I want to focus a little bit more on sort of the particulars about gardening with food security in mind. So, Maddie, you mentioned food safety. That feels like an important piece to spend a little time on. And I'm also wondering about, like different quantities of things, like what's too little and what's too much? And does that depend on where you donate? So, we've mentioned a few different kinds of donation sites, like there's anywhere from your local food pantry or a food cupboard. There's these community dinners. There's these give and take style share shed programs. So, what are some of the things as gardeners who say they're already up on their gardening, they're used to having a lot of beans or like a bumper crop of zucchini? Like, what are the things they should be thinking of in terms of like food safety, packaging? And again, these might be particulars that are determined through the relationship building with the food donation site, but any like tips and tricks that you could share would be awesome.
That's such a good question. I think we like to keep it pretty simple at Waldo County Bounty in terms of like people really love the produce that comes out. It's not a particular type. Sure, when there's crazy zucchini season is happening, there might be a billion zucchinis on the shelf, but they still get taken and people eat them. Don't donate food that's close to expiring. I think that's a good tip. One day earlier in our trajectory, somebody donated a giant barrel of half-rotting cucumbers, and I think it weighed around 200 pounds, and nobody could move it, and no one knew who dropped it off, and so it created some logistical problems. We ultimately got some big guys with a truck, and we're able to remove that stinking cucumber barrel. But so just remember that there are real people who are checking in on that site and managing it. So try to break up your donations into smaller sizes if you feel like that's helpful. A big giant box of potatoes is great because people will just take what they need from that. But if you have something that might be broken up into smaller sizes, peppers or whatnot, you can do that. In general, just grow good food and share it when it's ripe.
I just want to echo what Maddie said. It's almost like if you can pretend like you have your own farm stand yourself and you're trying to sell it. So that's the kind of quality that you ideally want to shoot for. I just was talking with a volunteer. We did a presentation on this topic earlier this week, and she mentioned that when she does her donations, yeah, she has scratch and dent from her garden, but she keeps that for herself. And she tries to put out the highest quality produce that you can. A lot of times, if you have bulk, packaging it up where you put elastics around bundles of Swiss chard, for example, or bundles of beets that are family size so that they can grab and go the portions that they might be able to most readily use versus having just a big mass of, well, those cucumbers, I'm still imagining what that must have looked like. But having things bagged or even bags beside what you drop off is really helpful, especially for the food security partners like food pantries. They really appreciate having things that are clean and pre-portioned because they have a huge amount of work as it is organizing all the food that they distribute, even the non-perishable items. It's so helpful for them to receive those perishable items in as high quality, ready to go format as possible. And then also, food safety wise, I think it ties in directly with that, making sure that you're acting like a farmer when you're doing your harvesting and having clean hands, clean gloves, harvesting into clean containers, even if it's like a messy crop like carrots and beets that are going to have soil on them, have those containers that you're harvesting into washed, cleaned, and then process things and then put that also into a clean food grade container as well.
Yeah,
Oh,
Kate just jogged my thoughts. Sometimes there's food donations you might not think are valued, but they really are. For instance, herbs. People do a bunch of time. If you have a large plant and just want to break off some bunches, that people love to season food. It's a great thing. And it might sound funny, but flowers, they really seem to make everybody happy. They never hang out at the stands long. So if you're growing up some beautiful flowers, share them with people.
I think there's no one size fits all as far as what people are going to be most excited to see coming into food pantries. But I will say that I've had some volunteers really shoot for filling in the gaps in the off season and intentionally plant a late season garden. And they plant things that are going to come into fruition towards the end of the season when food security partners are not going to be receiving as many produce donations. So cabbages, broccoli, kale, all those cold season crops that you can grow further into the fall. And of course, those storage crops like carrots and beets, that can be a great goal for folks so that you can focus your efforts in the beginning of the season on your own, filling your own food pantry, and then just shift your goals towards supporting others towards the tail end. The rhythm that's going to work for one's garden is going to be really unique to you, but there's so many different creative approaches to take.
Shifting a little bit back towards the volunteers who might not have the capacity or the space to grow a garden, what are some of the types of opportunities that exist? Maddie, you mentioned a gleaning program early on at the top of the show.
Yeah, gleaning is just such a high value form of food security. In some cases, farms have just extra crops because they grew a lot that year. Sometimes they have crops that don't look perfect, but are like obviously delicious, just aren't ready for the supermarket. And sometimes they actually just grow crops for our gleaning program because they want to contribute to the community. And so last year we gleaned, which means we've rallied volunteers and went out into the fields at a local farm and picked crops for a day and then distributed them to local hunger relief sites. A lot of that food goes to the give and take stands, which is great, and a lot goes to the 16 food pantries and soup kitchens in Waldo County. Last year, we gleaned 27,000 pounds of food, and we didn't pay a dollar for any of that food. And that is just an amazing value to contribute to the community. It's not possible at all without people coming out together and spending a day on a farm picking produce. And I've loved the gleans I've attended. When you have nice weather, it's always great to get out there, and it's amazing how much food you can harvest in just a short amount of time. And you then meet cool people, have some great conversations, pick up gardening tips, pick up recipes for how to cook with the food that you're picking. It's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, volunteering is just as important as growing your own food. And especially if you don't have space for a garden, you can still bring hundreds of pounds of foods into the community by gleaning or whatever your local organization is offering. It's really important to reach out to them and see what they're looking for, because we're all doing this together.
Maddie, I'm so glad that you mentioned those parks too, because I've witnessed so much of that sharing and those friendships and the fun that happens at cleaning projects. And I've had so many volunteers thank me. I'm like, no, I should be thanking you, but they're very thankful for that opportunity. They have a blast doing it. I do want to add to that just that our farming community is so incredibly special. We're just so lucky to have them. And one other type of gleaning that I've witnessed and been able to help facilitate in our area is the farmers market gleaning, which is a very formalized process that we have with the Bangor Farmers Market and Orono Farmers Markets. But I know other farmers markets have different programs as well, where we have trained volunteers come in at the end of the farmers market. And the farmers, they have no extra time at all during the season. And so this is also a really appreciated on their end. A lot of times things that are unsold at the end of one market won't be able to last until the next market. So they want to make sure it gets out there, but they don't have the time to go to a food pantry or shelter to drop those things off. And a lot of times food pantries and shelters are not open when they go at the end of the market. So it's really helpful to have volunteers organized around that and move that. And that has been thousands and thousands of pounds that have landed on people's plates that wouldn't otherwise. I'm really grateful for that too. And we need volunteers for that desperately. So if anyone wants to become involved that way too, even just moving it from point A to B can be a tremendous help.
That's 100% true. I mean, the distributions are really important.
If folks want to get connected with either programs at UMaine Extension or Waldo County Bounty, how would they do so?
Yeah, they can reach out to their local cooperative extension office, and it might take a couple days to make those connections, but we're happy to hear from folks that are interested in volunteering and have a conversation with you to learn more about your availability, whether you want to grow in your backyard, whether you want to connect with an existing project, and then play matchmaker. We're very aware of a lot of different projects that are likely in your community or just a short distance away that would be glad to have you. And again, it's one of the best ways to make a friend and to learn about gardening yourself. So build your own skills and learn a great recipe and so on.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout out to the UMaine Cooperative Extension's Master Gardener Volunteer Program. I haven't done it myself, but I've been with a lot of people who have done it, and it's this way to get really expert knowledge on how to garden and actually go out in the community and participate in different gardening initiatives. And Master Gardener Volunteers have been such a huge help to Waldo County Bounty over the years by contributing and basically their learning, and we get the fruits of their learning. We all collaborate. It's a wonderful program. If you want to volunteer with Waldo County Bounty, we have lots of opportunities. You just go to waldocountybounty.org and you'll see our volunteer opportunities there. We are still looking for folks to sign the Grow a Row Pledge, and we will provide free seeds this spring for you to do that. And yeah, just learn about the local organizations in your area. If you want to just see what other folks are already doing and see how to support it, because it's amazing how many folks already have amazing programming.
This was a great opportunity. I really appreciate helping to spread the word about the diversity of great work that is being done in the state. And I'm super proud to be a Mainer and to see our community step up. And I'm grateful to be in the role that I am professionally to be able to witness this because good things are happening everywhere around the state. It's a really sad situation. Food insecurity can happen to anyone at any time. And it doesn't look like one thing. It can be very surprising, and we can all make a really big impact no matter what your time and space and availability is. We can all help.
I'll just say the interesting connection between food security and gardening is that it can be really empowering. And if you start with a seed, it's a cliche, but if you plant it yourself and you care for it over the season and then it produces some food that you can share with your loved ones, that is just a truly empowering thing to experience yourself. And so we want to make that as easy as possible for folks. And I love that there's a strong gardening community in Maine that all shares that.
Kate and Maddie, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to me today and sharing about the important work that you do.
Thank you, Holly.
It's been great, Ollie. Thank you.
This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on WERU.org as well as the WERU app. Stay tuned for more great programming.